meant well, and I knew he had a heart of gold, so it was impossible to be mad at him. His talkative nature and constant need to make a joke made him endearing, despite how annoying he could be. In spite of everything he'd been through, he still saw the world in a positive light. People were innately good, and he chose to believe people would do the right thing when faced with a difficult decision. "Just don't talk about me when you go out with him tonight."
"How am I going to do that?" he asked incredulously. "The whole reason we're hanging out is because of you."
"I just mean, don't tell him anything too personal. We're still pretty new, and there's a lot he doesn't know about me." I didn't want to talk about the past because it was bleak for both of us, but I had to get my point across.
"He doesn't know?"
His eyebrow arched toward the ceiling, and he held his glass in his hand. It was half empty, and he would need a refill in about a minute. "No."
"Why?"
"We've only been seeing each other for a few weeks. I don't want to dump my emotional bullshit on him." He stared into his wine, then swirled it without taking a drink. When he sighed and put the glass down, I knew a serious conversation was coming.
"All right, you know me. I don't like to get all serious and crap, but there's a few things I gotta say to you. First of all, this guy is seriously into you." "How do I know that?" "Believe me, I just do. I'm a guy, and I understand guys."
I hoped Calloway was into me, because I was really into him. My thighs wanted to squeeze his waist while his cock rammed into me. My body hummed to life any time he was near, and he made me come so hard that I felt like the sexiest woman alive. On top of that, he was sweet and kind, and his heart was in the right place. There was nothing sexier than a generous man who committed his life to helping other people. He was so perfect, I questioned if he was real. There must be something missing, some skeletons in his closet.
"Second of all, you can't have a relationship unless you're totally honest with him. So don't hide your past like you're ashamed of it. Shit went down, but you got out. Look at you now. You're the strongest chick I've ever met. If anything, it'll just make him admire you more. And if it doesn't, he's not man enough for you."
"He's definitely man enough." There was no doubt about that. He was the strongest and most confident man I'd ever come across. It was no wonder why my knees grew weak for him. I'd been searching for someone like him my entire life, and the idea of finding him scared me deep inside. Because what if I was wrong?
"That's sweet of you to say, Christian."
He picked on me like every brother in the world, but once in a while, he complimented me in a way no one else ever did. He never lied to me, so when he did say something sweet, it was from the heart. "But it's really early in our relationship, and he's not even my boyfriend."
"He didn't make it seem that way."
"He gave us the label when we worked at the food drive last weekend. At the time, I thought he was just jealous and possessive. We hadn't talked about it since, and I thought it was too soon for either of us to assume we were exclusive. I really liked him, but I didn't walk into any situation blind. He's just..." I searched for an explanation, but I couldn't find one. "Just don't tell him anything. When I'm ready, I'll say something." Christian would obey my wishes, even if he gave me shit about it. That was certain.
"Whatever, Ro. You've got a Prince Charming at your feet, and you're too scared to look at him."
I changed the subject because this conversation was running too deep and becoming repetitive. "You want to watch Die Hard?"
"Thank God."
He turned his body toward the TV. "I'm terrible at these Gossip Girl nights." Toward the end of the movie, a knock sounded on my door.
"Who stops by at 10?
Christian asked from his place on the couch.
"It better be Prince Charming."
"Don't call him that." Calloway was so manly, he made Prince Charming look like a girl. He wasn't bendable and breakable. He was authoritative and powerful. He understood I could take care of myself and respected it. He was much better than Prince Charming.
You're right, Christian said. That would make you a princess, and you're way too ugly to be a princess.
I looked through the peephole and saw Jacob on the other side. I suspected it was him. He was the only person who came to my apartment at this hour. He wore a baggy sweater with holes in the sleeves, and his backpack was over his shoulder. I opened the door.
Hey, honey!
He only came by when his dad was drinking and trashing the small apartment they had in Brooklyn. There weren't many places for Jacob to hide, so I told him he could always come here. I smiled and tried to get his mind off his hardship.
I missed you.
I pulled him against my chest and gave him a hug, the kind he never got from his mother.
Hey, Ro, he said quietly.
Do you mind if I was just about to order a pizza. Are you hungry?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
I guided him inside and set up the table for him.
We were just watching a movie.
Christian waved.
Hey, Jacob, how's it going?
Jacob nodded back.
Good, you?
Just watching Die Hard and drinking wine,
Christian answered,
so I can't complain.
Jacob smiled slightly, then took his seat at the table.
Want to watch the movie with us?
I asked. We've seen it a million times, but it's Christian's favorite. Christian threw his fist into the air.
Die Hard!
Jacob chuckled.
Nah, it's okay. I have to do some homework.
All right. We'll try to keep it down. I squeezed his shoulder and gave him another smile, feeling my chest ache for this amazing kid. He worked so hard and he was so sweet, but his father didn't know how to appreciate him. It broke my heart so many times there was nothing left to break. I wanted to contact the police and social services, but Jacob begged me not to. He said he would never forgive me if I did.
The pizza will be here soon. Thanks, Ro.
He opened his textbook and binder and began to work. I returned to the couch beside Christian. My brother gave me a grim smile, then wrapped his arm around my shoulder. He pulled me into his side for a quick hug, telling me everything he couldn't say with words. He was proud of me for helping someone who couldn't help themselves, knowing we weren't so lucky when we were that age.
Chapter 10. Calloway. Christian introduced me to the guys before we entered the park. Young and affluent, they reeked of Wall Street experience and money. In jeans and polo shirts, they looked like they grew up in the Hamptons and moved to the city for work. Christian shared some similarities, but overall, he was nothing like the other two. We went to the concession stand, and not surprisingly, Christian only ordered a bag of chips and a beer for lunch. I loved ballpark food, so I got the chili dog and fries without feeling any shame for it. We took our seats near the dugout and watched the game, heckling the players from the other team and having a good time of it. Sometimes, I forgot Christian was Rome's brother altogether. He was laid back and easygoing, and it wasn't hard for us to form a genuine friendship. He had the natural charisma that made everyone want to be his friend. I was a little cold on the outside, an exterior so hard it was impossible to break through. Christian clearly didn't notice. At the fifth inning, I mentioned Rome for the first time. "What does Rome say about me?" Christian smirked before he took a drink of his beer.
"You want the scoop?"
"Yeah. Is she really into me, or do I need to step up my game?"
"Nah, your game is fine. She's smitten."
"Yes." "Cool." Rome kept a noticeable wall between us, keeping me a safe distance away at all times. But when we fooled around, she couldn't get enough of me. She pulled me harder into her, either my hips or my face. Sometimes I can't read her.
"You and every guy in America."
He chuckled at his own comment, then reached into his chip bag.
"Even I can't read her sometimes. She puts on a brave front for the world, but she's just scared like the rest of us."
"Scared of what?"
"You know, getting hurt, making mistakes, shit like that."
I wanted to know more. and I knew I'd have to push for answers. A gentleman would wait for the lady to spill her secrets, but I wasn't a gentleman. I was after her for one reason only, to be her dom.
Bad breakup?
You could say that.
He kept his eyes on the game and didn't give me any more information. He brushed off the questions like an experienced lawyer deflecting an incriminating interrogation from the judge.
Rome's had a hard life. She acts tough because she is, but underneath that armor, she's just as vulnerable as anyone else.
I drank my beer and tried to think of my best move. This guy was loyal to his sister, and he wouldn't tell me a damn thing unless he thought it was necessary. Sometimes it seems like she's trying to push me away. I told her I was her boyfriend, and she seemed uncomfortable by the thought. When I wanted to move our relationship forward, she hit the brakes. I haven't dated in a long time, but I know that's not how it's supposed to go.
Why not?
He winked.
You're a hit-it-and-quit-it kind of guy?
Something like that. I wouldn't count my time with Isabella as a relationship, just an arrangement. I hadn't asked a woman on a date in so long I couldn't remember the last time. It was something I had no interest in until that fireball walked into my life and turned my world upside down.
I always thought when I met the right one, I'd keep my dick in my pants.
He chewed on a chip loudly, crunching it to pieces between his teeth.
But that hasn't happened to me yet. I want kids and a house outside the city someday. But she's got to be hot, you know? Like, so hot that the sex never gets old.
I understand.
Is that what Rome is to you?
The question unnerved me because it was so personal. I didn't want to lie through my teeth and pretend I was looking for a woman to settle down with. Monogamy was doable with the right partner, but romance and marriage? It's never gonna happen. Christian basically asked me if Rome was the one I'd been searching for. I'm not sure. All I know is I've never met anyone like her, and I want more than what she's giving me.
Well, I hope you have a lot of time on your hands because it's gonna be a while. But if it makes you feel any better, she's been easy on you. Other guys get maybe a date or two before she pulls the plug, and the guys are usually pretty nice, too.
What was different about me?
So it's safe to say you've got the best shot of any guy in this city. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
All I was doing was making her mine. And she would be mine, eventually. When I was sitting at my desk at work the following morning, I couldn't stop thinking about Rome. I pictured her underneath me, her wrists secured to my headboard with her legs wrapped around my waist. I was thrusting inside her, dominating that pussy and making it mine. The thought was so arousing I was hard in my slacks and seriously tempted to jerk off. Fooling around was satisfying, but it would never compare to fucking. I couldn't wait for that moment when she finally spread her legs and allowed me to take her, to take all of her until there was nothing left. It had only been 2 weeks. Two more to go. It felt like a goddamn eternity. I straightened my tie before I pulled out my phone and texted her. Sweetheart. I commanded her attention before I elaborated, wanting all her focus, like the dom I was. The three dots appeared. Sexy. My eyebrow immediately arched at the nickname. I was expecting a question and response, not a tease. You're coming over for dinner tonight. Be there at 7.
Bossy, aren't we?
Baby, you have no idea. I suppose.
What are we having?
For an appetizer, you. And for the main course, me. She didn't know the half of what I wanted to do with her. If she did, she would run away screaming.
Sounds delicious.
I'll see you at 7. No panties.
Pardon?
I could hear her attitude through the phone. I could even picture her hand on her hip, her eyes burning in molten fire. You heard me. No panties. The three dots disappeared. Instead of being concerned I chased her off, I was confident it pulled her closer. Her thighs had to be pressed together and her pussy would be slick thinking about what my mouth was going to do with her. The second she walked over the threshold, I would yank up her dress and inspect her obedience. I hoped she disobeyed me, because I would love to punish her. A little after 7, she arrived. She wore a black dress with a thick jacket on top. Knee-high boots were on her feet, and a red scarf was wrapped around her slender throat. She held a bottle of wine, trying to be polite. I didn't care about the wine. I put it off to the side, then inspected her further. Her long hair was straight and full, framing her beautiful face and highlighting the gorgeous color of her eyes. She didn't wear tights under her dress, making for easy access. I didn't say a word to her. She didn't say anything to me. I wrapped my arms around her waist and pulled her close, feeling her tits press against my chest. I wanted her nipples to grind against me, hard and pointed. I wanted her to come to my doorstep, wrapped only in a jacket and shoes, nothing on underneath. But this turned me on just as much. I brushed my lips past hers without giving her a kiss. A quiet sigh escaped her lips, so muted I barely heard it at all. She smelled like roses and Christmas, mixed together in a beautiful package. My hand automatically fisted her hair so I had the right grip on her, and I yanked her head back so she was exposed to me. The fact that she allowed me to do it turned me on more. She could easily fight me, but she didn't. I kissed the corner of her mouth, covering her freckle with kisses. I loved that thing, and that it contrasted against her pale skin. Naturally, it turned me on, the only flaw to her perfection. I missed you. My fingers tightened around her hair, securing her like a boat to shore. She hadn't given herself to me yet, but I was taking her, bit by bit. I kissed the other corner of her mouth before I finally pressed my mouth against hers, right in the center. God, it was good. Her plump lips felt heavenly against mine, so soft and smooth. I remembered how that scorching mouth felt around my cock, so tight and wet. Just a simple kiss from her was erotic. My tongue slipped in when I tried to restrain it, and that made my cock press tightly against the zipper in the front of my jeans. I wanted to push her up against my door and fuck her. My hands glided down her back, feeling the curve until I reached the dip just above her ass. My fingers kept moving down, feeling her perky cheeks before I reached her thighs. I grabbed the fabric of her dress and pulled it to her stomach, revealing the lower half of her body. My fingers returned to her ass, and that's when I felt the fabric of her thong. She disobeyed me. I kissed her harder, bruising her lips. What did I say?
I don't care what you said.
I guided her against the door until her back was pressed into the wood. My mouth was still pressed to hers, and her hair was securely wrapped in my fingers. When I tell you to do something, you do it. Do you understand me? I kissed her freckle again before I finally pulled away. I looked into her eyes, dominating her with my scolding look. I wanted her to obey, but having her not obey me was hotter.
I don't do what you tell me. I don't do what anyone tells me.
She matched my fire, her dominance trying to overshadow mine. Like that would ever happen. My fingers slipped down the front of her panties and found her clitoris immediately. It was already throbbing, telling me she liked this game more than she let on. I rubbed it vigorously, moving in a circular motion that made her immediately gasp. I'm the exception. I pressed my mouth to her ear, my hand still fisted in her hair. I'm your man, and you'll do exactly what I say. She breathed hard as I lit her body on fire.
You aren't my man.
Now that just pissed me off. I rubbed her harder, rubbing the juice from her wet pussy over her clit. I'm yours. You are mine. Period. My cock ached from pressing so hard against my zipper. It wanted release inside her tight little cunt. Take off your panties. My fingers slid across her soaked clitoris, using her own arousal as lubrication. I knew she enjoyed this and was about to come against my fingers. Now. I growled in her ear, then stopped my fingers altogether. Her hips automatically bucked against me, wanting me to keep going. Her cheeks were flushed, and her eyes were watery from desperation. I bit her earlobe. Now. She struggled against me, not wanting to obey my command, but wanting to come. The only way around her headstrong temper was her sexual appetite. I'd been down this road before, and I always knew which way would win. After a moment of hesitation, she pulled her black thong down her legs to her ankles. The sweet taste of victory flooded my mouth. I always won, every single time. But winning against a worthy opponent made the triumph sweeter. Good girl. I hooked her legs around my waist, then carried her to the top floor where my bedroom was waiting. It was dark inside, and I removed the comforter so only the sheets remained. I knew we were going to get dirty, so I was prepared. I threw her on the bed before I yanked her dress off, then her boots. She was just in her bra, a sexy black push-up. I left it on, then undressed in front of her, letting my cock come free. He leaked from the tip because he was ready for that cunt. Like he had eyes of his own, he pointed directly at it. I got my shirt off, then moved on top of her, her head on a pillow. Dinner was ready downstairs, and it was going to get cold. But the second I saw her, I needed to get off. And I could tell she did too. I moved between her thighs, then shoved two fingers inside her. Like last time, I felt her tight channel. She was seriously narrow, the soft flesh of her pussy wet and tight. I felt the lubrication drench my fingers before I pulled them out and ran them across my cock. I coated myself in her pussy juice, lubing myself from my tip to my balls. She watched me, her green eyes darkening in desire. I pumped myself a few times, testing the friction. That's all you, sweetheart. I moved on top of her and pressed my hard shaft right against her throbbing clitoris. Both slick, we moved together. She moaned the second our skin came into contact. Her hands moved to my arms and dug into my biceps, squeezing me as an anchor. She cried louder than when we dry-humped on her bed. Now she was delirious with pleasure, feeling our bodies mold together like they were made to become one. My cock loved the feel of her wet clitoris. Her lips opened for me every time I moved, and the moisture made a distinct sound as we grinded over one another. It was nothing like sex, but it was still so fucking hot I wanted to come. This woman made the amateur stuff feel like the greatest sex I'd ever had.
Calloway.
Her hands immediately went to my chest. Her fingers spread out to feel the expanse of muscle.
So good.
I can't wait to fuck you, sweetheart. She had the wettest and tightest pussy I'd ever felt. My cock would be in heaven when it finally happened. She moved her hands up the back of my neck and into my hair, her palm cupping my cheeks as our bodies coiled around each other.
Fuck me now, Calloway, please.
Holy fucking shit. I kept grinding against her, my cock twitching in anticipation. He waited to be deep inside her, buried in that little pussy and claiming it as his own. He wanted to fill her with so much cum it leaked down her ass crack.
Please.
She looked into my eyes, the green flickering like a forest fire. Her lips were parted and desperate for mine. She was already on the verge of an orgasm. She dug her nails deeper into me, begging me with her touch. There was nothing hotter than a woman begging. Oh, fuck. I wanted to fuck her so hard. But she made me promise I wouldn't. If I broke my word, she wouldn't hold it against me. Any man would do it after listening to her beg twice. I was only human, and my cock only had one goal. But I wanted her to trust me. If she didn't, I would never get what I wanted. And that was more important than fucking her for the first time. Because I wanted to fuck her a lot more. I pressed my mouth against hers and gave her a hard kiss, crushing my mouth against those soft lips. My tongue danced with hers, playing a sexy game of hockey. I grinded against her forcefully, moving over her soft, wet folds until I reached my breaking point. I needed her to come. Baby, come for me. I gripped the back of her neck and rubbed my cock against her forcefully, making sex noises that amplified in my bedroom. It felt so good, and the burn blew up my shaft from my balls. I couldn't hold on much longer, not after listening to her pleas, but I needed her to get off first. She obeyed my command unwillingly, and she came with a scream. Her nails dragged down my back slowly, moving all the way to the top of my ass. Her hips rocked with mine, wanting as much friction as she could get. My bedroom reeked of sex.
Calloway?
She looked into my eyes with a wide-open mouth, her eyes holding the satisfaction I loved to see on a woman. She finished, and now it was my turn. I exploded onto her stomach and chest, hitting her right below the chin and in the valley of her breasts. I kept squirting like a geyser, trailing all the way down to her belly button. My tip pointed into her navel, and I deposited the rest there. My handiwork was a turn-on in itself. She was covered in my cum, her bra stained with my semen. I wanted her to stay like that forever, just so I could look at her. I didn't go inside her, but I felt like I claimed her in an even more sexual way. And I wanted to claim her like that again. Instead of wearing the clothes she arrived in, she borrowed a pair of my boxers and a t-shirt. She looked sexy in my stuff, sexier than I ever did. She sat across from me at the kitchen table and sipped her wine. I put the plates in front of both of us and began to eat. It was chicken caprese, with raviolis and a side salad. It was more food than I would normally make for myself, but since she always ordered a salad, I wanted her to load up on some calories. She probably didn't want to eat what I made her, but I knew she was too polite to let it go to waste. She cut into her chicken and ate slowly, taking her time as she enjoyed the two different sides. She sipped her wine intermittently and stayed quiet. After sex, I was usually tired and in a quiet repose. She seemed to be the same. "Do you like your dinner?"
"It's amazing,"
she said.
"You're a great cook."
"I'm glad to see you like other things besides salad." She held my gaze but stopped eating. Her gaze was unreadable, but my words clearly meant something to her. She turned back to her plate and kept eating, not making eye contact with me again. Did I hit a nerve? She took a few bites of her ravioli, eating so slow she reminded me of a sloth. Slow and steady, she continued the race and eventually ate everything on her plate, not leaving a single crumb behind. When one of the tomatoes fell off the chicken, she stabbed it with a fork and placed it in her mouth. I was impressed. You must have been hungry.
I don't like to waste food.
So you weren't hungry?
I was. I just don't normally eat that much.
Tension hung in the air, and instead of letting it continue to grow, I decided to cut through it. Is there a reason why I hardly see you eat? She directed her calloused eyes on me, her defenses coming up. I could tell when she was provoked. There was a metallic gleam in her eyes. Methodically, her brain worked to find a suitable answer. The question was simple and nearly harmless, but she absorbed it like it was a question under oath.
I feel guilty.
I hadn't finished my dinner, but now I lost my appetite. Without knowing exactly what she meant, I knew she was opening up to me, revealing an aspect of herself she never showed me before. The careful choice of her words and the strength of her voice told me it was a serious matter. Why? I set my fork down and gave her my full attention.
I feel guilty eating when there are millions of people who are starving.
She held my expression like a ruthless queen, absorbing every single reaction I made with my features. My house was unnaturally quiet. The sounds of traffic couldn't even be heard from outside. It felt like just the two of us in the known world. Starving yourself isn't going to change anything.
I don't starve myself. I just consume as little as possible so nothing goes to waste. There's a difference.
This was a tense subject. I could tell by the tightness of her shoulders and her jaw. Instead of speaking my mind, I had to tread carefully. You grew up hungry. I didn't phrase it as a question because that would feel like an interrogation. I would put my curiosity on the table and leave the door open, inviting her to elaborate, or end the discussion altogether. Her mystery and majesty intrigued me, obsessed me, but I wanted her to confide in me because she wanted to, not because she was pressured to.
Sometimes I was locked in a basement without food or water for days. The longest I've ever gone is 5.
I held her gaze, but immediately felt my spine prickle with destruction. A kind of pain I'd never experienced washed through me, burning me in satanic fire. My sympathy only extended so far, but with her, she took all of it. She told me not to pity her, but I did. I felt terrible for her, so bad that I wanted to do everything I could to fix it. I wanted to buy her a new apartment, a car so she wouldn't have to take the subway, and anything else she could possibly want.
When you're hungry for so long, you stop feeling hunger. It's a relief, but it's also the moment when your body starts to feed on itself, cannibalizing your muscles for energy. You barely have enough strength to move, let alone think. It's the most terrifying and humbling experience anyone can ever know. It makes you understand just how fragile you are, that you're susceptible to something everyone else takes for granted.
I hadn't blinked once. The pain in my chest was impossible to understand. I didn't feel sympathy for other people, not after what I'd experienced. People always thought they understood true suffering, but their problems were always petty. With Rome, I'd met my match.
You're doing it again.
I didn't look away. Doing what? My voice came out weak and I didn't clear my throat. The weakness escaped and I couldn't hide it.
You feel bad for me.
How can I not? I would have to be dead to feel nothing.
Because I'm one of the lucky ones.
Her voice grew strong once again. Full of life and vibrancy.
I got out of that situation and now I'm free. I have access to food and water whenever I need it, and there's not a single person in the world who can deprive me of it. Most people don't get out. Most people don't survive, but I did. So don't look at me like that anymore. Please.
I rested my hand on the table but couldn't break my gaze, and I certainly couldn't change the way I felt. You're asking me to do something that I can't do. I'm sorry.
Just don't think about it.
She pushed her empty plate off to the side, then sipped her wine. She finally broke eye contact with me, staring at the surface of the table. Was Christian in that basement with you?
No. He was in a different basement, in a different place. We met once we were placed in the same foster care. I was 15 and he was 16. We understood each other from the moment we met. Everyone has their own unique hardship, but ours were strangely similar. We decided we were family, brother and sister. And when families came to adopt us, we said we were a pair. If you wanted one of us, you had to have both.
The story was fascinating, but I wished it wasn't true. I noticed he doesn't eat much either.
He had it worse than I did. He was locked in his basement for a whole week.
How Christian was so warm and fun was beyond me. Both of them were unnaturally strong and kind. Without knowing about their pasts, I wouldn't have guessed it. It was a miracle they got through it, let alone escaped with their minds intact. After that, everything was okay?
No.
She shook her head.
The man who adopted us seemed normal in the beginning, but once the social workers stopped checking on us because they assumed we were in a good home, his true colors came out. When we were both 18, we ran away and started our new lives.
I couldn't bear to hear any more of this story. Knowing she starved alone inside a dark basement was enough to make me snap. I couldn't handle any more of it. I assumed I was devoid of all emotion, unsympathetic to anyone and anything, but she proved how wrong I was. I'm sorry for my behavior at the food drive. Now I understood why she was so upset. I understood I crossed a line I shouldn't have crossed.
It's okay,
she whispered.
You didn't know.
Now I wish I did.
I didn't tell you this so you could treat me differently. I didn't explain my past so you would be delicate with me. I assure you, I'm a happy person who feels lucky to be alive. Give your sympathy to someone who truly deserves it.
No matter what she said, I couldn't give her what she wanted. I didn't look at her as weak, quite the contrary, but the inexplicable need to protect her came forth. I wanted to buy her the world so she wouldn't have to worry about anything ever again.
And there was some asshole boyfriend in the picture, too? I probably shouldn't have said that, but now my rage was doing all the talking.
She eyed me suspiciously until she figured out how I knew that information. She was on the phone at her office when I walked inside and heard her entire conversation. Instead of showing her anger, she kept it back.
You don't want to hear about him.
As your boyfriend, I need to know.
When did we decide you were my boyfriend?
The fierce opponent I met in the bar was staring back at me. She wasn't easily provoked, but she became very defensive when she was cornered. I didn't do the boyfriend thing, but I needed to be that for her so we could move on to something better, something greater.
The moment I laid eyes on you.
When I spotted her in that bar, I knew I had to have her. Maybe she didn't feel the same way at the time, but within our first meeting, those feelings were there. The only reason why she hadn't let me in was because she was scared. If she hadn't been tormented in the past, we'd be in a much different place. Put down your walls, and let me in. For the first time during the conversation, her eyes softened. Baby, let me in.
Chapter 11. Calloway.
How is she today?
Teresa walked with me down the hallway and into the room. The furniture was white with hardwood floors, and vases full of fresh flowers were placed everywhere. That was something I recognized from my youth, and it reminded me that some things never change.
She's good.
Teresa opened the door to the balcony. The patio looked over the garden outside. Roses, lilies, and dandelions soaked in the sun and moved in the slight breeze. It was an unnaturally warm day for winter, even in Connecticut. I felt like I walked into a different time. She was sitting in her rocking chair, knitting a scarf. It was covered in kittens with different colored bows. Slowly, she rocked back and forth, the creak of the wood audible under her light weight.
Laura, you have a visitor.
Teresa kept her voice cheery, like this meeting was the most exciting one she would have for the day.
He's from Humanitarians United, and he's come to read to you today.
She turned to me with her dark, curly hair, her blue eyes no longer clear, but covered in a heavy fog. She stared at me with indifference, not recognizing a single feature on my face. Like I was a stranger and nothing more, she turned away. No matter how many times I saw the look, it hurt. I took the seat beside her and opened her favorite book, Harry Potter. I'm Calloway. It's a pleasure to meet you. She stared across the fields, her hands still knitting.
Calloway. I like that name.
Teresa eyed us both before she walked away and gave us some privacy. Thank you. I opened the book and turned to the first page.
I've got a book I think you might like.
What is it?
Harry Potter.
She arched an eyebrow and turned her gaze back to her knitting.
Never heard of it.
I knew that would be her answer, but it surprised me all the same. The hopeful side of me expected something different every time I came to visit. By some miracle, I hoped she would suddenly remember more than just her name. I think you'll like it. She finally stopped knitting and turned to me, her cheekbones high and her lips pursed in displeasure.
You're a good-looking young man. Are you married?
Thanks, and no, I'm not.
No kids?
No. Even without remembering me, she was disappointed.
What a shame.
She started to knit again.
What do you do at Humanitarians United?
I'm the director.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thanks. It was all the pride I was ever going to get from her.
So, why are you reading to an old woman like me?
You aren't old. In fact, she was way too young to be in here. She smiled.
That's sweet of you to say, Cal.
Naturally, she called me by my nickname, how everyone referred to me. She picked it up just the way she used to, not breaking her stride. I guess I'm a sweet guy.
And you really aren't married?
I smiled. No, and I never would be.
One day you will be, and you'll make some woman very happy.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. So, shall I begin?
No. Can we just sit and talk? I feel like I don't talk to anyone around here.
My lips dropped into a frown, but I tried to hide it. Of course.
Tell me about yourself. Do you have any siblings?
Jackson never came with me to the assisted living home. He said our mother died a long time ago. Visiting her ghost just made it more hurtful. I have a younger brother named Jackson. We're only a year apart.
That's wonderful. Are you close?
Not really. Yeah.
Delightful. What about your parents? Is your father handsome like you?
Jackson and I both looked like our father. It was frightening. My father passed away 8 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry,
she whispered.
Your mother?
I stared at her hair, seeing the gray strands creep into her dark hair. There were faint lines underneath her eyes, and the corners of her lips had tiny wrinkles that were hardly noticeable. In her youth, she was beautiful, but I still thought she was a pretty lady. She passed away, too.
Dear, I'm so sorry.
She reached for my hand and grabbed it, her cold fingers somehow feeling warm against my skin. I squeezed her hand back, enjoying the limited affection I shared with her. I was just a man who came to visit her. She pitied me for everything that I lost, but I pitied her because she didn't remember anyone she lost. It wasn't a contest, but if it were, neither one of us won. I just walked out of the office when she called me. Hey, sweetheart. My mood immediately picked up once I saw her name on the screen. After dinner the other night, it seemed like things were different between us, more intense, in a good way. Some of her walls had come down, and she actually made an effort to let me in.
Hey, sexy.
I like that nickname.
I think it's suitable.
So, what does my lady want? She paused when she listened to the way I referred to her.
To see if you wanted to do something tonight.
I wanted to do a lot of things tonight. Come over for some popcorn and a movie, and a little bit of Frenching.
Just a little, she teased.
All right, maybe a lot. And there would be a lot of pussy licking, too.
Sure. Want me to pick up some food on the way?
Nah, I'll make something. She never asked me to do something this casually before. It was like we were longtime partners that preferred to hide away from the rest of the world. All of this was new to me, but I caught on pretty quickly. I had a girlfriend once in high school, but never since. You just get that fine ass over here. And lubed up.
Okay, I will. See you soon.
Bye, baby. I hung up, then walked down the sidewalk until I reached my car. I was glad she didn't invite me to her place because I hated that goddamn apartment. So run down with bad people around. The idea of her sleeping there without any protection put me on edge. I would buy her an apartment if she'd let me, but I knew how that conversation would go. We sat on the couch with our wine and popcorn. The movie played on the TV, but neither one of us watched it. She crawled into my lap and straddled my hips, her pussy sitting right on the definition of my hard-on. She ran her hands up my chest, her long hair pulled over one shoulder.
How was your day?
I cherished the feel of her nails against my t-shirt. I loved the pressure and the memory of her gripping me that last time I made her come. Good. Yours?
It was slow at the office. I've had a hard time getting donators.
Want my advice?
Always.
She tilted her head slightly, showing her slender neck. Go to the donators.
I'm not a salesperson.
Then don't act like a salesperson. Show them how their donation can get them some spotlight. Maybe some of these people are genuine and want to help others. But most of them just want the credit. Play to their egos and you'll always get what you want.
You're clever, aren't you?
Her hands moved to my shoulders, and she massaged them gently. Very. I gripped her lean thighs, then slowly slid my hands up to her ass. I loved that perky backside of hers. I couldn't wait to rub my cock between her cheeks before I shoved my thick cock in her puckered little asshole. She adjusted her hips slightly, feeling my hard dick through my jeans. Anytime she was near me, I was hard because my mind was so obsessed with this woman, and no one else.
Can I ask you something?
I didn't hesitate to reply. Yes?
It's personal.
She told me something personal about herself, so I could tell her something personal about me. That's fine.
When you said you were my boyfriend, did you mean we're exclusive?
You bet your ass I did. If she just hugged another man, I'd be livid about it. I hadn't fucked her, but she was mine. I wished I could give her a black ring to put on her right hand so people would stay the fuck away from her.
So, you aren't seeing anyone else?
The hope picked up in her voice. I swallowed the insult deep down into my gut. No. You're the only woman I've touched, kissed, or pretty much looked at since I saw you in that bar. Her eyes softened, and a small smile formed on her face.
You're such a catch. I guess I'm surprised you aren't playing the field more. You know, sowing your seeds.
There's only one field I want to sow my seeds in. My cock twitched at the thought of her pussy overflowing with my cum. I'm a one-woman kind of guy when I meet the right person. Isabella and I were exclusive because she was the perfect submissive. Prior to that, I had short-term flings with strangers. It was never about playing the field. I'd always been seeking the perfect sub to fulfill my fantasies like no one else ever could.
And you think I'm the right woman?
Yes. I gripped her thighs and pulled her closer to me.
Why?
She tilted her head to the side again. Interested in my response. I couldn't tell her the truth, that she looked like the ultimate woman I could break. She was strong, like steel, and I didn't want to bend her, but snap her in two. One day I would come clean about my intentions, but for now I couldn't. It's one of those situations where you can't explain what you see and what you feel. Like a rock, deep in the pit of your stomach, you just know it's there. All I know is when I saw you walk into that bar, I was a goner. And when you slapped me, with that fire in your eyes, I knew I'd met a powerful woman, strong and resilient as fuck. And that turned me on like nothing ever has. She hung on to every word, trying to understand what I meant.
You liked it when I slapped you?
She put me on the spot, so I answered. Yeah, you've got spunk, I like that.
Even though I didn't bother to make sure I had the right man.
I searched her face, concentrating on those beautiful green eyes that always took me to a peaceful place. You did have the right man. I pulled her ass closer to me until her chest was right in my face. I leaned my head on the back of the couch and looked up at her, her dark hair forming a curtain around my face. My hand fisted the back of her head, gripping her strands. I looked up at her and listened to her breathing, noticing how uneven it was. It was the most romantic thing I'd ever said to a woman, and being romantic was never my intention. She pressed her face into mine and kissed me softly, her lips desperate for mine in a restrained way. Her hands cupped my face and she deepened the kiss, her bottom grinding over my cock. It was the first time I didn't want sex. I was hard as hell and eager for her, but this was enough for me. Just feeling her lips was enough to satisfy me. I pulled her closer and continued the tender embrace. When I was with her, I was a different man. I wasn't so calloused and hard. Somehow I had a heart that I assumed stopped beating a long time ago. And I had a soul. It was nearly midnight, and we both had work in the morning. On top of that, I had to go to Ruin and check on a few things. Jackson wasn't trustworthy when it came to the business side of things. He tried to be responsible, but always got sidetracked by the company inside the club. Not that I blamed him, but that meant Rome needed to go home. She was on top of my chest on the couch, her hair a mess across my shirt. A red blanket covered her torso and kept her warm, and my body was a natural heater to fight the cold. I didn't want to move her, but I didn't want to have a sleepover. It practically gave me anxiety. I sat up and moved her with me, my hands circling her petite waist. I adjusted her against my chest so she wouldn't tip over and fall back on the couch. A waft of vanilla and lavender hit my nose. Her scent mingled with the light perfume she wore. Every time I smelled her, it was a little different. She was always changing it up like her outfits. "It's getting late. Let's get you home." She moaned against my chest.
"I'm too tired."
The soft side of me wanted to let her stay. She would be harmless in the bed beside me, fast asleep through the entire night. The following morning, I would wake up to the peaceful expression on her face, but the hard side of me always prevailed, and I knew letting her stay wasn't an option. "That's okay. I've got you." I lifted her from the couch and carried her toward the garage. Lighter than air, she nearly had no weight. But when she struggled in my arms, I could feel the strength of her frame.
"What are you doing?"
She was slowly stirring, coming back to reality. "I'm taking you home."
"What time is it?"
She squinted at the clock on the microwave as we passed.
"Oh, it's midnight. I'll just stay here then. Not much point in going home right now."
I kept going because she wasn't staying here. "I don't mind, sweetheart." I grabbed my keys off the counter and walked into the garage. She wiggled in my arms until she moved down to her feet. The look she gave me was like a laser beam. With high voltage and magnitude, she peered at me like a woman who could read my mind.
"Do you not want me to sleep here?"
This was dangerous territory, and I would have rather avoided this conversation if possible. Things were going well between us, and I didn't want to move backward. "No, I'd just have to be up early tomorrow, earlier than usual. I'd have to take you home around 5, and no one should be awake that early." I relied on my charming grin to persuade her, using all my ammunition to get out of this war zone. She must have seen something reassuring in my gaze because she bought my story.
"All right, I'm not a morning person, so I wouldn't appreciate that very much."
Crisis averted. When I walked her to her door, I heard the loud bass coming down the hallway from one of the neighbors. At midnight on a Tuesday, it was obscene. The music amplified against the walls and must have disturbed the entire building. Rome acted like she didn't notice anything. She got her key in the door and unlocked it.
"Thanks for giving me a lift."
My eyes moved down the hallway and landed on the nearest door. I was pretty certain it was coming from that apartment. "Is this normal?"
"The music?"
she asked.
"Yeah, I just try to ignore it."
She walked inside and set her purse on the entryway table.
"I have a white noise machine, and it covers most of the sound."
I wanted to write her a check then and there so she could get the fuck out of that place. It was full of drug dealers and assholes. I didn't want her sleeping there alone, not when I didn't know if she was safe.
I could tell her to move, but I knew she wouldn't take the suggestion well. And I couldn't have her stay over with me or I'd have a meltdown, so there was no solution.
Well, good night.
She stood on her tiptoes and gave me a soft kiss on the lips. The embrace didn't dim my anger. Usually the touch of that full and wet mouth took me to a new place. But now I was too annoyed to appreciate anything about her beauty. Good night. When she pulled away, she searched my gaze. Her eyes darted back and forth as she focused on mine. She picked up on my mood, feeling it through her skin like heat waves.
What is it?
My eyes broke contact, and I stared across her tiny apartment. The veins in my forearms bulged, and my temple started to pound with a migraine. I was a man that always got my way, and the fact that I had to hold my tongue made me sick. Have you considered moving? I phrased it as politely as possible.
Because of the music?
She asked.
He usually turns it off by one, so it's not a big deal.
It was a big fucking deal. She practically lived in the projects, and a beautiful girl like her shouldn't sleep in a place like this, unprotected. If she lasted this long, she obviously knew how to look after herself, but that wouldn't stop the nightmares from killing me. Because of everything. She crossed her arms over her chest, the fire slowly coming into her eyes.
What are you saying?
She already knew, so what was the point in me hiding it? I don't think this is a place for a single woman. That's all.
It's fine.
Her voice was cold, like chipped ice.
It's in my budget, and there aren't many bugs, so I'm grateful. A lot better than where I came from.
Just because she was used to shit didn't mean she should keep living in it.
Don't worry about me. I've been living here for a while, and I like it.
Well, I fucking hated it. She ignored the frustrated look on my face.
Good night, Calloway.
She kissed my cheek, then grabbed the door so she could close it. I had no choice but to retreat. She was too headstrong to take a check from me. Even if I arranged some kind of stunt, she wouldn't buy it. Good night, Rome. I walked over the threshold and faced her.
Don't worry about me. I'm a tough chick.
That didn't matter. No matter how fierce she was, she deserved to be taken care of. She deserved to walk into a palace of jewels. She deserved a crown made of all the stars in the universe. She gave me a slight smile before she finally closed the door. I stared at the black wood for nearly a minute before I decided what to do next. I walked to the apartment where the music was coming from and banged my fist against the door, so loudly it rivaled the sound of the bass. A man answered the door, looking like someone who just got out of jail for a double homicide. What? He yelled over the music, and I could still barely hear him. I pulled out my checkbook. How much will it take for you to pack and move?
Say what, asshole?
I want you out of this building tomorrow, and I'll give you 10 grand if you do it. What do you say? I wrote out the check and held it up. I'm good for it. He eyed the money in my hand, his eyes narrowing. Without hesitation, he snatched it and shoved it into his pocket. We've got a deal? He nodded, then slammed the door in my face.
Chapter 12. Rome. I sat at my desk and ate my yogurt. I didn't get paid until Friday, so I had to make whatever was left in my fridge stretch for a few more days. At this time of the month, I always lost a little extra weight, but not on purpose. I arranged a food drive that morning that would take the place the following Saturday. It was a breakfast drive for the homeless in Brooklyn. From police reports, a lot of them were Vietnam vets that never found their footing when they returned home. Government constantly moved homeless people from one place to the next to get them off the street, but that didn't solve anything. What we needed was a new system to rehabilitate these people, not put them on a different sidewalk. The door opened, and the sexiest man in New York walked inside. Wearing a black suit that made the black ink of my printer seem white, he walked inside and owned the room I paid rent to keep. He wore a silver tie and an ivory-collared shirt, looking like he was running for President of the United States. Every